Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're getting you ready for Pro Football's Final Four.
You know what's going to take? 60 minutes of physical football. Our very best.
This is a conference championship week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Our 11 versus their 11 for 60 minutes.
The Fan.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for being part of our day, letting us be part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, or YouTube's Party Animals, on youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. Let's party on, party people. It's conference championship week. We'll dive into all of the matchups as the show goes on. Hour number 1, talked a lot about the Blazers. Surprising win. We got Danny triggered.
It was surprising and not surprising at the same time.
The win?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was surprising.
It was surprising in the general sense, but not surprising considering the way Orlando played.
Well, yeah, that is true. We have 2 head coaching vacancies filled. Mm. Now we are down to 2 more. There are 2 more. You know, the Saints don't have a coach yet, nor do the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm putting money on Schottenheimer to Dallas, McCarthy to the Saints.
Mm. I think the Saints are waiting for Joe Brady's season to be over.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to hire Mike McCarthy, just do it.
Sure.
You know?
It's fair.
I mean, just get that one out of the way and shun.
Or at least
down the road.
You're going to interview Joe Brady and give yourself the opportunity because nobody else is going to hire McCarthy between now and then.
Well, Dallas may just be like, that was a bad idea. Nobody wants this job. We're down to Brian Schottenheimer, Jason Witten, and Dion, so no. The Schottenheimer thing, there's now the reports out there that Jerry's kids are the one that have leaked the Brian Schottenheimer thing because they think it's a good idea, but Jerry is...
Might go the
team,
other way now.
No, he's on Team Dion, and he was never on Team Shoddy. Mm. Yikes.
They had a 5-hour interview with Schottenheimer yesterday, so let's see.
That's how it goes, dude. But there's been a lot of people that have been on it, including Joseph Hoyt, who was really the first person to float Brian Schottenheimer's name as a potential head coach. That is the son of Marty Schottenheimer, because mm-hmm. It's not a common name. Especially not in football.
No,
but
it's just like Lombardi.
He's been an offensive coordinator for a long time and a quarterback's coach. He was like with Sanchez and Favre in New York with the Jets before. Very highly regarded. He's been a guy who's been around for a really long time, but not ever brought up as a head coach type guy. So that'll be interesting to see.
That's a good, that's the guy you want to hire. The guy who's never brought up as a head coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Means not a lot of people going to want that job. Well, Kellen Moore could be in the mix there, too, because you know that Jerry Jones loves Kellen Moore, and they're still playing this weekend in the conference championship game. So we'll see how that shakes out. But we did have really two jobs filled over the last 24 hours that I think for each team, they finally got out of their own ways. And your Las Vegas Raiders, Danny, hired Pete Carroll to be their head coach. A 3-year deal for Pete Carroll.
When Ben Johnson was no longer available, this was my number two choice. If you're not going to get the guy that you're going to go with going forward for the long haul, potentially, get me the stopgap guy that's going to get your culture right, that's going to set things on the right path, and get the vibes right in the building. Because I don't think the vibes have been right for 5 years.
He turns 74 in September.
And yet still has the juice.
Will be 77 at the end of his deal. Mm-hmm. I think there's an option year for a retirement home.
Sure.
Okay. But Pete Carroll, I agree. He is what they need right now.
Yeah.
He is what the Raiders need right now, because if you're not going to go out and get the young, offensive-minded head coach, which could be a disaster with the way that their roster is right now, where you have really one guy on each side of the ball that
Brock
you're
Bowers,
like, we're
Max
good.
Crosby.
We're solid there.
That's two.
Really solid.
Two there. Of the best play. Well, the best player at their position and one of the five best players at their position.
Mm. But that's quite a bold claim, Max Crosby, best player at his position.
No, the other way around.
Oh, you think Brock Bowers is the best player at his position?
Right now, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's even more of the... Because Max Crosby is top five.
Yeah.
He's really damn good.
Yeah.
He's really, really, really good.
Who was the first-team All-Pro tight end this year?
Well, it was Brock Bowers, but I will
still... Travis Kelce getting any younger?
I will still take Travis Kelce this year.
It's fine.
Yeah, I will...
Going into next year, who's the best tight end in the league?
I don't know. We'll see. He's good. He's really good. He's really all they have, though.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying they have two guys that are very, very, very good at what they do. Outside of that, it is barren.
It is very barren.
Here's the thing. They have plenty of, good players. Just good. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
But none of it really fits together or makes a ton of sense.
Right. And so you're going to bring a guy into Pete Carroll who he can... build a culture better than anybody else. He's done it in several places immediately. He is going to have credibility in that locker room. He is going to be able to start getting everybody in line of, this is how you win. This is the culture that that builds winners. This is how we're going to do things around here. At that point, you can hand it off to whoever's next after 3 years, right?
And that's
what
I hope
going to be the
right.
important
yes.
thing.
And we just talked about Bobby Slowick. His offensive mind, his creativity, and the stuff that you've seen from him, he's exactly the kind of coach I think you need to be looking at. And if whatever the rumor mill is that, him and C.J. Stroud didn't see eye to eye, or there was some organizational dysfunction, whether it be between D'Amico Ryans or from Casario in the front office. Now, go live under Pete Carroll for 3 years. Learn how to be a dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. Pete Carroll, the relationship management stuff, that's what he does better than damn near everyone.
Yeah.
Go learn how to do that. And it's not like there's some coaches, McDaniels, that can't.
Yeah.
Cannot learn, will not learn. They're just not going to do it. They're just stubborn. They're a pain to deal with, and they're just coordinators for life. Fine. That's go do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are plenty of instances where coaches have gone and failed, i.e. Pete Carroll, learned and figured it out.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happens. More often than not, that's what does happen to every young coach, whether it's as a coordinator or as a head coach. When you're Andy Reid, remember how when we were growing up, how much he got pummeled for his inability to manage games, to win the big one, to put together a game plan, to not get beat in the second half. Now we talk, you ask somebody half our age about Andy Reid, he might as well be, Don Shula. You know what I mean? He's never made a mistake in his life. And it's people tend to forget those Eagles years where he was, the 24/7 sports news cycle was him getting skewered.
Yeah.
So go nail your coordinator hires on the offensive and defensive side. I'm very comfortable with Pete picking the right guy on the defensive side. That's where he lives. They're totally cool with that. The offensive side, it's been up and down in Seattle, but if you go back further to his time in USC, he did bring in guys that were very bright and very forward-thinking.
Yeah, that's a long time ago, though. That's a really, really long time ago. And we'll see kind of where Pete goes with that. And really, what John Spytek, who the new GM is that they brought in from Tampa, what he has to say about that and what Tom Brady has to say about it, too. Because Brady has got more and more power and leverage in that organization as a minority owner than what I think a lot of people assumed he would have from the onset of it. And that will be go a long ways in two things: who your offensive coordinator is, because that will be the signal of where they want to go stylistically on the offensive side of the football, and then who your quarterback is. Are you ready for Russell Wilson?
God, no.
No,
I don't want anything to do with that. No, on the...
All right, well, I mean, you remember what Russ said about the relationship.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Well, here's the thing. You can talk about that all you want.
He said that why would anybody... People are just trying to rip him apart.
Look, Diana Rossini...
He doesn't have hate in his heart.
Diana Rossini was
Russell Wilson is going to be the next quarterback of your Raiders.
Diana Rossini was on with Ryan Rosillo, and... You talk about the Tom Brady stuff, and I think this is going to inform the quarterbacks out of this, but this is what Diana said about Tom Brady with the Raiders.
Take me through some of the Raiders stuff here.
Let's just start with making it really clear that Tom Brady is running everything in Vegas. Now, that being said, he's not working with a lot there. Like, up until 2 days ago, I had somebody in the building say, we have no idea what we're doing. Like, they had no idea what direction that Brady wanted to go in terms of a head coach. And they land on Pete. This September, Pete will be the oldest NFL head coach. I could totally see this being a situation where this is a placeholder, where Pete comes in, straightens it up, cleans up some of the mess that was left behind, gets this thing on the right track. And hey, if he has success with it, great, let's run this thing out until he's 80. But if he could at least get this thing up on its feet, then maybe in a year or two, the hot coordinator can come in and Brady can go get his guy.
Take me through.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Stop gap.
Mm.
Find a guy that's there. Don't worry about the quarterback right now.
Justin Fields.
No.
Russell Wilson.
No. I think if they
Daniel Jones.
Honestly, I think if they're going to go anywhere, I think it would be Darnold.
But Darnold may be wanted by other teams.
Sure.
You know?
But. And again, that's where I think she kind of alluded to it there, at least in general, of like how Tom Brady is doing things and or the impact that he is having. One, they got Ben Johnson in the room, where in the past that wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always been my beef with Mark Davis, is that he's the different. For we talk about the stuff with Jerry Jones and the Jones family, he still has some pull, even with his level of crazy.
Yep.
Mark never had pull. And God knows he does not have the pull of Al Davis. Al Davis, until things went crazy at the end, Al Davis had damn near more pull than anybody in the NFL. He was the big swinging you-know-what at the table in NFL meetings. He was the guy that the league looked to for a long time. And those final 10 years were really rough. And that all that cachet, all of that stuff went away. And Mark never had a drop of it. And
no.
It's gotten worse. So Brady, look, I hate what Tom Brady did to my franchise. But he is bringing some level of credibility back.
Yeah. This is going to be tougher. Like the offensive mind bringing him in,
mm-hmm.
a quarterback that is functional, that's easier said than done.
It is.
Especially when you have, you're bringing Pete Carroll in for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the quarterbacks next year in college football.
It's not great, Bob.
It is going to be a difficult climb because this isn't just a
$50 million, Sam Darnold.
I don't think you want that because you don't have Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison or TJ Hawkinson.
I tell you right now, I don't want Daniel Jones. I don't want Justin Fields.
Right, I know.
I don't want Russell Wilson. I want somebody that can at least progress the ball with Brock Bowers. That's all I'm caring about right now.
I think that Sam Darnold without a cast of characters and a great play caller is just like those guys, because that's what we've seen over his career before last year with Kevin O'Connell, Justin Jefferson,
and that's, but again,
Aaron Jones.
That's where I'm saying if you get a combination of Slowick and him, I think you at least, you're not in a good spot, you're in a better spot.
Boy, yeah, it's tough.
Look, brother,
it's
you watched this offense the last couple of years?
I know, but... I know. I know you're trying to do the mental gymnastics.
The bar is the floor. I'm not looking for a playoff team. I'm looking for functional growth.
Yeah, I see that, but
that's all.
Yeah, you need dudes too.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
I mean, that's tough.
Look, in my world, I would love to just absolutely just be god awful.
Mm-hmm.
Be god awful and get stacked back to back top two picks.
Yeah, I mean, I would be buying what you're selling if you had the a quarterback, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like that's the most desperate thing is like
in these next two this draft and the way things are shaping out right now, not great for a quarterback.
No, or you get Shadur.
Oh God,
Shadur, Pete Carroll.
What's the thing
Bobby Slowick?
What the NFL draft is always weird. And there's Cam teams Ward. That are going to talk themselves into quarterbacks. There is a world that exists where Deion could go so toxic that he could keep Shadur from going in the top five.
Yeah.
And then you're the Raiders at six.
Yeah. And then you're talking yourself into Shadur Sanders.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
But you're going to do it.
I won't.
You will.
I won't.
All right, we'll talk in May.
Yeah, let's check in May. I've said it before. And
you are just so going to talk yourself into it.
Just so we're clear, it's easier for me, and I don't know why, it's easier for me to talk myself into Cam Ward than Shadur.
He's not going to be there.
No, I think Cam's going to go one.
To Tennessee. Yeah. It's going to... Hey, maybe you can have Will Levis as your quarterback.
Oh, no.
Mason Rudolph?
Well, that's worse.
Is it?
God, one's the mayo eater and one looks like mayo.
Yeah. Whoa, that's rude. Mason Rudolph look like that? I thought he was like...
He's white.
I didn't think
this
he was...
This Mason
that.
Rudolph.
Yeah? No, he doesn't. No. No. He looks like...
Just because he's a Tyler Harrow white doesn't mean he's not a white.
No, he looks like... Timu Jimmy G? Like, not quite the same, but you're like... He's not like male model handsome, but you know.
I mean, look,
he's a handsome dude.
He does well at the bar. He does well at the bar.
But he's not Jimmy G, so no. It's like the knockoff version of Jimmy
G. I did just fine at the bar. Huh? That's a pretty low bar, too.
Russ is like, if you wait long enough.
Oh, my God.
2 o'clock happens.
Yeah, just got to wait. You got to make sure the lights don't come up first.
Mason is his middle name.
Oh, it's his first name?
Brett.
Brett Rudolph.
Oh, yeah, that sucks so much more.
Yeah, Mason, I would go by Mason, too.
Right?
Yeah, Brett Rudolph
He's
is
Brett
a bit more
Brett Mason Rudolph the third.
Oh, that's super D-baggy.
Oh, yeah. I definitely don't want him now.
I think I would have gone by, like, Trey. I would have been, like, Trey Rudolph.
Trey Rudolph?
I mean, Trey also, Murphy's name is
super
actually...
Super D-baggy. I think he had no good options.
No, Trey Murphy like. Is actually... He goes by Trey because he's... Murphy the third.
What if
so he's third the Murphy yeah. the third.
That's what, like, Trey Griffey does mm-hmm. that, too. I mean, what would be acceptable? Rudy Rudolph?
Oof.
No?
Rudy Rudiger?
Would you just drop the B and go Rhett Rudolph? What do you want to call him?
Well, Rhett, that's a little bit better.
To some.
To some.
To some.
Especially down
to
south,
others,
down
it'd be
line.
It'd be Rudy Rudolph. You know? Come
he's,
on.
He's got a brother... named Logan Rudolph.
Oh, cool.
He's an actor.
Oh, see? I told you. Handsome family.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's talking Rudolphs. The Jaguars got their guy. And again, order of operations, not their strong suit in Jacksonville. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025. And you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen. And here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to in a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Jacksonville Jaguars have hired their head coach, and it is former Buccaneers offensive coordinator Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen, after 1 year in Tampa as the play caller, he gone.
I'm sure this is a totally normal transaction, right?
No. Again, we've talked about this Jags team and their order of operations being off on everything that they do, including having the owner answer a question about firing the general manager if the new head coach wants Shad Khan to do so, and him saying, yeah, if they made a compelling case, I would. The GM was on the call. A couple weeks later, you have Trent Baalke, the general manager. He gets fired earlier this week. A couple weeks after that, the Zoom call happened. And then...
I believe it. And wasn't it the day after Liam Cohen said, deuces, I'm going to stay in Tampa?
Yes.
Yeah.
This happens as Liam Cohen, who was the front runner to get the Jags job, said, no, I'm going to go back. It was reported that Todd Bowles went to ownership of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said, hey, we need to open up the pocketbooks. We need this guy to stick around. We want him to stick around. Ownership did. They gave him a butt ton of money to come back and continue to mold, develop, and grow Baker Mayfield as a quarterback. And the next day, after Trent Baalke was fired, Liam Cohen goes and interviews with the Jacksonville Jaguars again and gets the job. Yikes.
Love to see it.
Yeah.
Love to see it because the dysfunction here is just fantastic on so many levels. This part of this reminds me of kind of like the anti-Monty Williams deal in Detroit. Do you remember that whole process?
Yeah, where they just paid him more money than anybody because nobody wanted the job.
Not just that. He didn't want the job.
Yeah.
He was like, he wanted to step away. He was, first it was $8 million, then it was $10 million, then it was $12 million, then it was $15 million a year. And he was like, all right.
Okay.
Like, it got, the number got so astronomical, he was like, screw it. And look, I get leveraging and getting contract extensions again. Well, that's part of the gig. But if the money is the ultimate part of this, and I'm not saying it can't be, but when it is, it becomes a little bit of a problem usually. Because you're just like, this thing isn't perfect. And for me, I look at this from Liam Cohen's side of this, of he interviews with the Jags. Trent Baalke is clearly just, you're just like, oh, you are a drag. I don't like you. I want you gone. But kind of like this gig, staying in the same state, tax-free still. I like Trevor Lawrence, done some stuff with Baker. I think I could do some stuff here. But God, Baalke. So you tell Shad Khan on your way out, look, you find a way to get rid of him. Maybe we can talk, but I just don't think you're going to do it. So I'm going to go back to Tampa. You leverage that. Shad Khan calls your bluff. Packs Trent Baalke up and says, yeet! Throws him out the door, and then you're like, oh, crap, I really want that job.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it went.
You don't think so?
No. I think he interviewed, and I think he did tell Shad Khan, like, I'm not taking that job without the general manager, which is also with this general manager, which is also a weird thing that you're hiring out of order. Usually you go front office, then head coach. So you have alignment. You can still be aligned with your head coach and your GM, but it's a weird power order that you have there. I think that all of those things did happen with Trent Baalke and saying, no, I don't want to be here. But I don't think it was the money that was involved. I think it was, holy, we can't get out of our own way until one guy is gone. And then if that guy's gone, yeah, give me a call. And then he got that call and was like, all right, I'm in. Because the weird part about all this was the reports out of Tampa are that the Buccaneers were trying to find and contact Liam Cohen all day yesterday and couldn't do it. Like, they couldn't find him because he didn't have that new deal signed. And they were like, hey, man, we got these reports that you're in Jacksonville. What is going on?
This is a DeAndre Jordan situation.
Yeah, and that's how I think it played out. Is like, I don't think money had anything to do with it. I think everything that had to do with it was Trent Baalke, and then he was like, all right, this is not hard. It's easy.
And then Shot Khan put the chair in front of the door.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. No, no, that's,
and Mark
that's
Cuban
what I mean.
Was driving around all furious, but there's Todd Bowles this time.
But I'm not saying the money had anything to do with it. I'm saying in the situations where you do throw money at it, where the Bucks were trying to throw money at Cohen to get him to stay, as opposed to the idea, I think Cohen wanted to take the job. It's the opposite of Monty Williams, where it's like, instead of taking the job that he wanted to take, he didn't take the one that had all the money. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where I'm going with this. Like, I think this is like, it reminds me of that, but it's the other path of, yeah. I want the job that I want, where just because you're throwing money at it doesn't make it better.
I wonder how much it plays a factor into this, though. All of the reporting that came out after he turned down the Jags, of one of the big reasons why is because he didn't feel he had the connections within the NFL yet to hire a staff.
Yeah.
Like, that is still a big, like, red flag, because also you don't have a general manager. And so oftentimes general managers have those connections too that say, hey, we can be in alignment here where I know this guy, that guy. And so, again, order of operations, Jacksonville Jaguars, not making sense.
Yeah. And you can't
I don't think they're out of the clear yet.
And you can't even go back to the organization that you just left with John Spytek because the Raiders just hired him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, outside of the order of operations opens up the avenue for in 2 years, if Jacksonville is underwhelming over the next 2 years under Liam Cohen, then whatever new GM comes in is like, hey, this isn't my guy. And then all of a sudden you're doing a rinse and repeat, you know, every 2 years or so.
That's the interesting thing is, there does seem to be more of a coach pick the general manager than general manager picks the coach thought process change in the NFL. Have you noticed that? It's not happening everywhere, but I've seen those discussions.
I think it happens.
How often is it? In how many lines of work, too, do you have somebody where the employee gets to pick their boss?
I think that it is the franchises that are not well run.
No, wait, but Jacksonville historically has been very... Oh, no, wait, that's not right.
I think it's kind of like the, hey, kind of taking a look at this here.
Yeah,
the one that I could see, if Jacksonville is going to go out and make a hire, I could see them turning to the Rams front office.
And they've done pretty good in the draft.
Looking at one of the Rams' second-in-commands, because Liam Cohen... He did come from Kentucky last year, was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky in 2023. But in 2022, he was the OC for the Rams. I could see them going and saying, all right, who's second in command behind Les Snead in LA? Mm-hmm. What do you guys do? Player development, player
evaluation,
and what markers that you're looking for to develop. And I think that may be the way that they go for a GM. That's the way that a lot of these hires do go, especially when you have a head coach that is going to have some say in it, is you go through that same tree. The other one, and there's a big ESPN article about this last week. The other big one is agents, and whoever Liam Cohen's agent is going to be like, I want this guy as my GM because he's my client too. Yeah. That works out even worse than anything else.
Yeah, the direct line of that is just a good way to build a strong, solid organization.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's perfect that you went with the Rams here because their player evaluation and processing, a lot of times they get it right because they draft the guy with the right name coming from the right school. Because it turns out... The Raiders' Tom Telesco, I think we might have found out the reason why he was fired. That's our worst day on the web community connection. First, here's Big Kahuna, Sports and Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
This is a Conference Championship Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
I need to make one correction to this because I said might be the reason Tom Telesco got fired because I can't do years well.
Okay.
Because I keep forgetting it's 2025 now and no longer 2024. And this wasn't a year ago. This was the draft before. So that would have been Ziegler's draft, but also the reason why he probably got fired as general manager. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, in 2023 draft, the Raiders selected Byron Young from Alabama. the defensive tackle in the third round, a player that had a grade of undrafted. Now, this isn't the first time the Raiders front office has gone off book, as it were, when they drafted Alex Leatherwood in the first round, a man who everybody had pegged as, at best, a fourth-round tackle.
Or Darius Heyward-Bey?
Second, I believe, was his highest grade as a wide receiver. So, he ran very fast and straight-lined. Had hands of brick. But if you're thinking, that name sounds familiar, it's because the name you're thinking of is the pass rusher from the Los Angeles Rams, Byron Young, who's good.
Yeah, and he was taken seven spots after the other Byron Young.
Yep.
It, the story gets worse, though, because of the fact that, of like, you talk about dysfunctional organizations, disorganized front offices. This is wild, because the correct Byron Young, the one that was, is now a Ram.
From Tennessee.
He said that he got a phone call from the front office, so they called him.
The Raiders called him and his agent.
And he was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to get drafted. And then he sees his name pop up and was like, wait a minute. That's not me. That's another player. And then a few picks, he's like, what is happening here? Oh, okay. Then he gets picked by the Rams. It saved him.
What? Yes, it did save him. Here's what happened. And there's going to be a bunch of stuff to try to like retcon this. The Raiders called the right Byron Young, called the right agent. Now, they called the agent afterwards and said, sorry, we had the wrong one. You know why? Because they were covering their tracks. Because somebody put the wrong card in.
Yikes.
So when you're handed the card and you go, all right, we're good. Yes. You make the call into the league office, or you go hand the card in to the guy that makes the final card or makes the final call into the league office. They handed the wrong card.
That is crazy.
They handed the wrong card.
You know that as this is happening, the Les Snead and Sean McVay were sitting in the room going, or the mansion, and going, oh no. They did it.
Yeah.
They drafted the wrong one.
Everybody did.
They drafted the wrong one. And we want this guy. Yeah. And that... Dude. That's why, you know, Raiders fans, they always say, like, what was the demise? It was, you know, Al Davis in his mental faculties
going
away.
That was the demise.
You can also look at, they had no plan. They never had a plan.
No, after
and
him?
It was,
oh, God, no.
It was Al Davis, and every great organization does have a plan, and they've never had a plan since. This is why it's like, of course Mark Davis is going to just let Tom Brady step in and do what he wants, because Mark Davis is like, I don't know what I'm doing.
No.
I haven't known what I've been doing for years.
Have you seen my haircut?
Have you seen who we drafted the wrong guy a couple years ago. I mean, if you can shore that up, I think that'd be a good start.
If you're looking for a sign of hope, remember, the Memphis Grizzlies at one point in time, the Brooks fiasco. They thought they had a deal in place for Brooks for, God, who are they trading for? I can't remember. And they thought they were trading Marshawn Brooks. Well, the other front office thought they were dealing Dylan Brooks.
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy.
No, then you go, no. And that's one where
but
you
look
go,
at where the Grizzlies are now.
You go, which Brooks are you talking about?
Yeah.
You got to have that one in there. Like, what? Which one? But Byron Young, I will say, that is a little bit confusing that
from the same conference, playing the same position roughly.
Well, one's interior, one is an edge rusher. But two guys with the same name, you could see how that would happen. But you know what? You literally get paid millions of dollars to make sure that doesn't happen. That's your job relies on that aspect of it.
I don't let the wrong Danny Meringue on the show.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
And even when...
Although I'm not sure this is the right one.
But here, you're not wrong. Also, the crazy thing is, there's another Danny and Dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think technically it's Dusty and Danny, right?
Now, yeah.
It is now.
Yeah, it is.
So,
yeah.
But it is, it's definitely a weird spot, right?
A weird spot? I would say, yeah. Yeah.
Like, oopsies?
Yeah, that franchise, man. We got a text from a Cowboys fan who's like, this may be the last straw for me in the Cowboys. What is going to be your last straw? Because it feels like there should have been several with the Raiders.
When I was younger, where my fandom went up in flames for the Raiders,
yeah,
was Darius Hayward Bay. I put a hole in my wall.
Yeah.
With my fist.
That's not surprising.
No. I was viscerally angry.
Yeah, it was a terrible pick.
Yeah.
People laughed at it.
That and Rolando McClain.
I forgot about that one.
That was my, I'm out. I'm done. My dad looked at me like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm done. I'm out. I can't do it. Because that's after Jamarcus. Because Jamarcus, you want to look at the biggest all-time failure in NFL draft history, it is that guy. There is no bigger bust in NFL history than Jamarcus Russell, especially when you consider who's drafted after him. The next three players are first ballot Hall of Famers.
Have you thought about, like, over half your life now, they've been like this?
Yeah. First half, real good. Second half, real bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the suck has been so much worse than the good.
Yeah. I mean, the first half wasn't that great either, though.
Damn good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Bo Jackson, Marcus Allen. Yeah, that was...
Well, could you want to rewind to the beginning of the show where you said if you don't win titles, it's not very good?
No.
Because they didn't win any.
I said pretty good. Yeah. I was wrong. No, they went to a Super Bowl. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
But it was John Gruden. Mm-hmm. John Gruden.
They did him wrong.
Mm.
They did him dirty.
Yep.
That was the undoing of it all.
That was it right there. So. Dang.
Speaking of doing it dirty... how about some high school kids doing some nasty things on the basketball court to their opponents on a level that is heretofore unexplained?
Whoa.
Look, it is. Look, this is a violation.
I'm very uncomfortable.
That you should be, because what these kids did on a basketball court is uncomfortable. We'll get to that here next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. I'm going to preface this with, I don't like this.
Okay.
I don't like it at all.
Okay.
Two high school kids... put up some absolutely bonkers numbers in a way that it feels very cheesy. It's very ball brothery.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
A young man set a new high school record in the state of California, scoring over 100 points.
Right.
102 points.
Yikes.
It ties a national record from 1922 when a young man named Ed Vondra put up 122 for the Arkansas School of the Deaf.
Ah, well, he was 6 feet tall.
Nobody heard it coming.
He was...
God dang it.
I mean, who is it against is the question.
School of the Blind?
God. His name is Nick Kachikian? Yeah, Kachikian.
Kachikian, yeah. Yep. Well, he scored 102 points, and look, this is kind of... they play at a school, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
The Armenian Mesrobian School, and it's a small private school down in California. They had a guy in 2003 also score 100 points.
Yikes.
At the same school. But here's the thing. Nick had himself quite a day by scoring 102 points.
His brother...
I think his brother had a better game. I don't think he had the best game in his own family that night, and he scored 102 points.
Yeah, it's because his brother had 35 assists and 13 steals.
Well, no, he had a triple-double.
Triple-double, yeah.
He had a triple-double and did not score...
Did not score. Zero.
I think it was 15 blocks as well?
No, 15 rebounds. He had a triple-double without scoring. And it was 35, 15, and 13.
Ben Simmons is like, see?
That is more impressive than scoring 100 points. 35, 15, 3, and 0.
Yeah.
0 points on the game because he just kept dishing to his brother.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 102 in 22 minutes of play. They won 119 to 25.
So he scored 102 of their 119 points. Like, think about that. He shot 48 of 60, by the way.
Not a bad... That's efficient, though.
48. I mean, that's giving them buckets.
Yeah.
But my goodness. Here's the insane thing. He took 6 threes. He was 3 of 6 from three.
Well, and if I remember correctly, the free throws were in single digits too.
Three of four. So this man just mid-ranged and laid them up to
death. Well, I think he was just laying them up all game long because I went and I looked up the team that they played. And the team that they played in that game, Waverly has not scored over 36 points all season long.
Yeah. I think I also saw that they were held scoreless in the first half of this game.
Yeah, it was 79-0.
Yeah.
Waverly, and they're in Pasadena there. It is sad to look down the box scores of their games. They're 0-9 on the season. They've lost 51-19, 71-9, 79-13, 123-27. 59-18 and 119-25. The last time they played this same school, they lost 65-14.
I think, if I remember correctly, there was one time in high school at Beaverton where we were hosting, I think it was Glencoe, and Beaverton won. It was like 102-37 or something.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
It was a whooping.
Which is also crazy because we didn't have a shot clock here until 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So they could four corners it and they still did that.
Yeah.
California's had a shot clock forever. Oregon was actually one of the last ones to adopt the shot clock.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough.
Well, it was a cost thing.
Yeah.
It was a cost thing. Put them all into all the schools, and they're like, all right, fine. I guess we're going to do
because it. Because everybody was tired of the four corners.
Well, yeah. Milwaukee used to run it as their base offense.
Yeah. Like in the 2000s.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was 2000.
Winning games like 18-12.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, they were good because they had, God, what was his name? They had one guy who was
a big old boy.
No, he was a shooter. He was, but basically this dude would just, Casey, I want to say it was like, Casey Yamasaki or something.
Mm.
I think that was his name. He would just run the baseline back and forth.
Endlessly.
And he would just run until they got an open look, and he'd just, like, get a layup or hit a three. He was a dead-eye shooter. He was really good. But it was like, oh, my gosh, these games are so boring. And you get, like, an eight-point lead, insurmountable.
Yeah, because they would just burn minutes.
Yeah. That was crazy, though. Games are so boring. Got done quick, though.
Yeah, run the clock.
Yeah, you wanted to play them on, like, the Friday night. You wanted to play them on the Friday night game because you were out of there, and it was off to the weekend pretty quick. But, yeah, they were good, man.
But yeah, I don't like this. I don't like the putting up 100 on another team.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Well, it's not just even putting up 100 on the other team. It's that, do we really need 60 field goal attempts from one player?
Because what they're doing is, it's Instagram era. That's what it is. Yeah. This isn't like some top recruit who just went off. He just pasted a bunch of kids who, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do it. There's none.
No.
Look, you want to stunt on some dudes in the EYBL? Go for it. Go for it. That's what you sign up for.
You call the dogs off, and there's no point in getting 100.
No.
No point in getting 100 on them.
No, this is...
It's poor Waverly kids.
No, like, in the coach, I have a reeling suspicion is either the uncle or the dad.
Probably loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
And I remember even...
Ooh, that's a good call.
Back in my early days at...
I'm gonna look that up.
Here at the fan, but also living in our house, one of our neighbors across the street was the Jackson brothers who played at Westview, and I think at one point all three of them were on the team, set of twins and then an older brother. But yeah, even they didn't do that, and they were talented.
Yeah, I mean the fact that you could see that, you could see that far more often than we do. Guys getting 100. I know like Grinnell College likes to do that quite a bit. You know, it's like they'll try to feed a guy. They play run and gun style offense. They'll score 100, but that's college basketball. It's not high school basketball. You could see high school guys like you're telling me that Cooper Flagg couldn't score 100 if he wanted to.
Oh, that man could absolutely.
And when he was in high school,
bury them all.
Yeah,
he didn't.
Yeah, no.
Don't get me wrong. You go for your 50 piece or whatever, but like that's. Oh no way! It's not the dad.
Oh, hey.
It's not the dad.
Bit of an upset.
Bit of an upset.
Yeah, Mike Gabriel is their head coach. All right, Mike.
So.
Maybe put the kids on the bench for a minute. Maybe
he's probably Uncle Mike.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Mom's brother or something.
All right.
It's just nasty stuff. I don't like it. Pivoting out of basketball. It is indeed Football Friday, and we have some championship weekend football to get to. Let's get to that next year in hour 3 on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.